Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen to it, thanks to Santa Fe's Dot Foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Today, ladies and gentlemen, is the last day of our featuring of the Santa Fe Film Festival, which is in full swing. Lots of fun, incredible movies, and it's going on all through the weekend, and we're going to feature some folks from Santa Fe's burgeoning film industry who've done some shorts in just a little while. Right now, I'd like to welcome Bill Walbeck. His film is called Row Hard, No Excuses, and it screens today at 2 o'clock at the Armory for the Arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
Now, this is a film about something that I can't even imagine that the people who do this are in the same species that I'm in, namely rowing a boat, two people, across the Atlantic Ocean.
That's right.
Now, what, and it's a race, so there's lots of pairs of people doing this. What's the nature of this race? All the boats are exactly the same, first of all.
Yeah, they all have to purchase a kit from the organizers of the race, which they either can put together themselves or have a boat builder do for them. So everybody, it's a level playing field race. Well, yeah, sort of.
So level ocean.
Yeah, everybody starts out with the same kit, but then you equip the boat yourself. And the New Zealanders, as one might know from sailboat racing, always take advantage of the rules. So their boats were hundreds of pounds lighter than the boats used by the Americans in the race that we document.
How did they manage that?
They left pieces of it out. And they actually had a keel that was razor thin because they sanded it down.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of Americans you document, and they're not what you'd expect, namely 20-something athletes. These are people who've moved on a little bit in years.
Well, they're definitely athletes, but they're, one was in his 50s, John Ziegler, and the younger one, Tom, was in his early 40s.
And so how did they get involved in racing boats across the Atlantic?
Well, both of them were successful athletes in their own fields. Tom was a successful kayaker, and John was a successful canoe paddler. So they won everything in their own locales. John was from New Jersey, and Tom was from Massachusetts. And they had been so successful at doing that, they thought if they went on the international scene and tried rowing, they could be just as successful.
So you document the whole process, you know, their lives, their families, the building of this boat, the start of the race. Where did it start?
It started at Tenerife, which is in the Canary Islands. It's just off the coast of North Africa.
And then this whole process of rowing, but you couldn't be on the boat, your crew couldn't be on the boat with them. How'd you do it?
That's true. They carried two mini DV Sony cameras with them. And kept a video diary.
And they weren't afraid of weighing down? I guess that equipment doesn't weigh too much.
No, it's very light.
And what kind of instructions were they given about this documentation process?
Well, my son, Lou, who is the director, just told them to keep a diary day by day by day and then shoot interesting stuff when it wasn't too rough to actually shoot, when they wouldn't be scared of getting salt water on the cameras.
And then the footage comes back, you look at it and have your surprises.
Yeah, well, one of the first surprises we had was we expected there to be probably tens of hours of the video diary, when in fact it was only 5.5 hours because the two men had a falling out with each other on the way across. They expected to win, and they didn't, and actually didn't talk to each other for 2 years after the race.
Is that right?
That's right.
So the competitive aspect, I mean, they talk about this in the film. It's not about finishing. They really, really wanted to win.
These people really wanted to win. We interviewed at the starting line in Tenerife probably 20 of the 36 teams, and we asked them all, you know, what they expected, what they thought it would be like to be on the other side of the Atlantic. Some of them who were competitive athletes said they expected to win, but most of them said they expected to have an experience of crossing the Atlantic.
Now, the people who won, were they the competitive type or were they the experienced type?
The people who won were two men from New Zealand who were very competitive.
With the shaved-down keels and whatnot.
And they were both, well, one of them was an Olympic pairs rower, and the other was a policeman who was in very good shape and young.
So it obviously takes a lot of strength to row a boat across the Atlantic, but it also takes a lot of mental wherewithal.
It certainly does. And there were a lot of teams who were not large, very fit athletes, who did very well, surprisingly. There's a team of New Zealand women who were not large, were not, you know, strong competitive male athletes, but were an excellent team. They were very well organized, and they could communicate with very well with each other. I could tell that at the starting line. And they finished in fourth place. And they were in third place. Actually, they were in second place for a while and faded to fourth, but they did very, very well.
So what are some of the kind of dangers that you face rowing a boat across the Atlantic?
Well, things like sharks, large waves and bad weather, boredom, sleep deprivation. Chafing is a huge thing, saltwater sores, stuff like that. It almost caused John to, or it caused him to want to stop the race because he had such bad sores on his behind.
And which are also documented in this film. We're talking about
graphically.
Graphically, indeed. We're talking about the film Row Hard, No Excuses. So how long did it take the average boat to cross?
The winning boat crossed in 42 days. Tom and John, well, I want you to come to the film, so I'm not going to tell
you. Okay.
But the last place boat, which was a woman named Deborah Veal, whose husband left her after 2 weeks, and she went on alone, took her 111 days to cross.
Oh, my goodness. Why did he leave?
Well, he was 6 foot five. The cabin is 6 feet long, and he was claustrophobic and also very scared. There was very bad weather the first 4 or 5 days of the race, and he got scared.
So there's a little self-knowledge aspect here, too. Would a claustrophobic person be suited to going across the Atlantic in that?
Well, that's true. And another big thing is on a 23-and-a-half-foot boat, there's no place to run away from your partner.
Yeah.
Even if it is your wife.
Right, right. Well, it's a very interesting movie. Row Hard, No Excuses. Much more to talk about, but we have to go right now. Bill Walbeck, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Shaw.
And the website is lanternfilms.com, and once again, 2 o'clock, Armory for the Arts. We're going to take a little break right now. Stay tuned to KSFR. And now I would like to welcome some folks who have been in the New Mexico Filmmakers Intensive this whole year. James Bustamante and Michael Miller have made a film called American Dream, and Ginny Galtney is the producer on a film called 1011. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So all of you have gone through this program at the College of Santa Fe, which is for directing, producing, and screenwriting.
Correct.
And have made these films that are screening at the New Mexico, at the Santa Fe Film Festival. Let's talk about, first of all, this film, American Dream. What is this film about, James? You directed it.
Essentially, it's about identity, and it's about a man who brought his family to the United States and kind of loses touch with his roots.
From Mexico.
And he ultimately has to make a decision.
And with short films, it's hard to talk about them too much because if you talk about anything, you're going to give away the whole film. So we don't want to go too much into it. But let's talk about the process of filming it. Where did you film this picture?
In and around Santa Fe, and we had a couple shots near Albuquerque as well.
And did you write the film as well?
We actually collaborated, and our writer was a writer within the program as well. So we were one of a few films that used the amazing writers over at the Intensive. And she, Raquel Troise, is from Albuquerque, and she's originally from Mexico, so she really brought that authentic touch to the film.
And Michael Miller, you came into this to learn to be a film producer. Did you know people here beforehand, or how does it work? You just get involved with all the other people who are in the Intensive?
The program is structured so that we set up in pairs, a producer and a director, to make these films. And for the first part of the semester, it's a, you know, sort of a meet and greet experience where we're meeting the people. I'm actually a New Mexico producer, and I got into the course to fill in holes in my own education, and so I knew a lot of, you know, crew and cast before we got into the program, but I didn't know these people specifically, so it was an interesting experience getting to vet the different director-producer teams and how these teams finally came together.
How does it work? What makes a good director-producer relationship?
Well, James and I went back out behind the school and had a knockdown drag-out just to be... No, that's not how that works.
Who won?
We won, actually. No, we met early on, and we had a number of interviews with each other and talked about our goals and our aspirations and what we thought was important for a project. I'm interested in doing a wide variety of things, including very specific social narrative kinds of programs. I have two films actually in the festival, and both of them are social narrative kinds of programs. And so when James approached me with the idea about doing something very specifically about the immigration situation, it was a fairly quick match, I think. So we had the opportunity to begin working together reasonably early in the process. And then it became an agony of figuring out how the script was going to look that we were actually going to make.
Did you have any involvement in the script?
I did. It was a true collaboration with the three of us. Raquel wrote James actually had a story idea with Raquel, and Raquel wrote the bones of the story. And then we had script meetings and script meetings and script meetings, and I think we're still having script meetings.
Even though the film is done.
Well, the film is done and it's not done. This particular film, we're hoping, will go on to a much bigger picture. We have a script underway now that Raquel is again writing the bones from some meetings we've already had to do a feature about this particular subject.
So, and this film screens, today at 4 o'clock and then Sunday at 9:15 in the morning at the Indian Arts Museum. That's the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture.
Right.
On Museum Hill?
Right.
Up on Camino Lejo. Let's talk about this movie, 10-11, and you, Jenny Galtney, produced this film. And this is a premise that is interesting, and I've often wondered about it. There was a film on a similar premise many years ago, namely when there's a disaster like 9-11 and somebody survives but everybody else thinks that they haven't, do they have an opportunity to go do something else and disappear and start a new life?
Well, Mary Charlotte, it's sort of been an urban myth since 9-11 that there were people actually that sort of disappeared and did begin new lives. And what we did, Allie Silverstein is my first-time director, and she's part of the program, and she also wrote the short. We decided to get into the moral dilemma of someone who actually was supposed to be in the Twin Towers but wasn't. He was actually with his mistress, and it's his moral dilemma for the next month on what to do.
And so, and again, we can't give away the too much of the film because it's a short film. It's a very well done film. You are our producer on this film. What was your role? What did you do? What was your role in the development of the story?
As far as the development of the story, I was very, very involved in collaborating. There was a group of us sitting around the table one night, and we actually came up with the story. And then Allie went off to her corner and wrote the script, and actually we were revising it up until the day before we were shooting. And as a producer, I was really in charge of doing everything else. In the intensive, they really let us go in the summer, and we put together an incredible cast and crew. Everybody works for free, and we really came out with a great little film.
And this is a film that screens tomorrow at 1:15 at the New Mexico Film Museum, the former Jean Cocteau Theater.
Yes, it is.
So we are going to take a little break right now and let two other filmmakers speak. Thank you so much for being with us, Michael Miller, James Bustamante, and Jenny Galtney.
Thank you
for having us.
We're going to take a break right now. Stay tuned to KSFR. And we're actually going to give away tickets to that very concert, Tanariwen, which is live at the Lensic tonight. We're going to give away two pairs of tickets, ladies and gentlemen, right now. The first two folks who call 428-1382 will win a ticket to these guitar poets from the Saharan Desert. I'd like now to welcome Diane Schneier-Perrin. She's the one who's put all this together. She's from the New Mexico Filmmakers Intensive, supporting New Mexico's burgeoning film industry. And Craig Strong is with us here. He has worked on a film as director called In the Wake. And Gabriel Flores is with us, and he has written and directed a film called Banshee. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Morning.
Great to have you. Diane, what is the process like of bringing all these people together? It seems like potential organized chaos.
It's been extraordinary. Not only have we had to say goodbye and let the last group go out into the world as auspiciously as they are with their films in the festival this year, but Jonathan Wax, the chair of the department, and I are now working on bringing in the next year of students. We just try to bring in the most diverse group, ethnically, gender, age-wise, and film experience. And we found that we get people coming in from all over the state, predominantly from Santa Fe and from Albuquerque, but we try to bring them in and just bring together a group that will inform each other as they try to fulfill their creative ambitions.
So, Craig, your film is called In the Wake. Tell us what it's about. It's a short, very interesting film.
It's about redemption. It's about a this incredible man from New Orleans who's lost everything in Katrina, and he's relocated to Albuquerque in the sort of a land that's totally foreign to him and alien to him. And it's about his finding his way back. Through baking a king cake.
And again, we don't want to tell the whole movie, which it would be possible to do, because these are all short films. But this is, I found it interesting that here were New Mexicans making a New Orleans story.
Well, the screenwriter has ties to New Orleans, Shannon Richardson. Her family's all from New Orleans, although she grew up in Albuquerque, but she lived in New Orleans for 20 years. And following Katrina, she started channeling this middle-aged black man.
Channeling.
That's what she says. And she really did. I mean, this is a wonderfully drawn character, especially for a 17-minute film. To have this sort of rich character in the middle of it is really, really wonderful. And a wonderful actor from New Orleans.
And so you directed this film. Where did you shoot it?
We shot it some of it in Albuquerque. A lot of the exterior stuff in Albuquerque.
It is funny when you live in Santa Fe to see some of your shots being of the Frontier Restaurant and places like that.
Yeah.
It's so weirdly familiar.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the Frontier Restaurant we really wanted because it's such an icon of Albuquerque.
Yeah.
It immediately identifies where you are. And then we shot the rest of it in Santa Fe, the kitchen sequences, and then we did some second unit footage in New Orleans itself.
So this is a film with a kind of partly poetry as this guiding thread.
There's a raconteur, which is a tradition in New Orleans, and you hear her voice throughout the film, sort of informing the character in very much poetic terms. And then there's sort of a surprise as to who that voice is at the end of the film.
So the film is called In the Wake, and it screens on Sunday at the New Mexico Film Museum, right downtown, formerly the Jean Cocteau Theater. Let's talk about this film, Gabriel Flores, Banshee. This is a high school film.
Yeah, it is. It was written with the legend of La Llorona, which is a local folktale. It has its adaptions all throughout South America, Mexico, and New Mexico. It's an interesting, powerful subject. It represents a lot. And I paired up the La Llorona myth with the Irish Banshee myth, which actually the two of them share a lot. I think it really exemplifies universality in folktales between cultures. And I wrote it with that in mind. I wanted to kind of create between my two lead characters, both of them are high school girls, a sense of sisterhood. One of them is Mexican-American, the other one is white, and I was trying to demonstrate that they're, just the universality and the commonality of grief.
And presumably Irish white.
Right, yes. However far back her Irish heritage goes. But yeah, she's a young girl living who's not necessarily aware of what her roots are necessarily. So the white girl in the story, both of the girls are at an important point in the film. They are told the stories of La Llorona and the Irish Banshee simultaneously, just coincidentally, and both girls in turn wind up being very empowered through these folk tales, which are traditionally very tragic, but they put a positive spin on it.
And this is a film which relies really on atmosphere to...
Yes, very much. I mean, I did my best as a first-time filmmaker to try to, conjure up the sensation of walking down hallways in high school, entrances into the school dance, things like that. So all of these are very iconic moments in an adolescent's life. And I paired that up with the very surreal fantasy sequences, which we shot using the facilities at the College of Santa Fe, soundstage, Garson Studios, which was a wonderful treat for me because it's, the NMFI program offers you not only just the opportunity and the budget to make a movie, but offers you the resources to do so. So the soundstage was especially nice. We had all of our scenery was extremely theatrical. And it was just a treat to be in there in that, wonderful, colorful, fake environment making a movie. So.
And you were both writer and director.
I was writer and director. I had a co-writer, Tantri Ouija, who has a film in the festival as well. She was also part of the NMFI program. Her and I sat down and hashed out a story about, what it's like to be in high school and the various and alternative ways in which young people can empower themselves.
So this film, Banshee, screens tomorrow at the Film Museum, the former Jean Cocteau, at 10:45 in the morning. What are you both going to do now that you are done with the program and going out into the world? Craig is laughing. He's guffawing.
Well, I'm doing a project at the Santa Fe Opera that will happen in the spring, and then I'm trying to figure it out, actually.
Plan to keep on with filmmaking?
Yeah, I'm looking to make another film. Gabriel and I have a project that we're trying to hash out and figure out. And I'm looking at making more movies.
Right. It's very exciting. It's what Craig mentions is there's a lot of collaboration happening between a lot of the NMFI people. This is a great outcome of this program as we're all talking. We're all very anxious to make more movies. Personally, I've been working as a scenic painter, and I have the privilege of working on the Burning Plain production and the Guillermo Arriaga film, which is shooting down in my hometown of Las Cruces, New Mexico. So this entire year has been I've gotten to see firsthand how wonderful the film industry here is in New Mexico. I have the opportunity to make a movie and also work on one as well. So.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here. And Diane Schneier-Perrin, you are now, as you said, looking for your next crop of writers, producers, and directors.
We are, and in fact, we're actually adding a track this March, an editing track. We found that in the program this first year, the most challenging piece was the post-production piece.
Interesting.
So we're going to start another track with 7 new students, which will be an advanced editing track, which will be people coming in with the technical expertise and coming in for an aesthetic upgrade.
Very interesting. So people who are working professionally in one way or another as editors.
If they're working professionally as editors or if they've become proficient at Final Cut Pro or the Avid Express, then they can come in and really take it to the next level of professional editing.
And so tell us once more when your open house is.
Our open house is tomorrow morning, Saturday, December 1st at 10 a.m. at the College of Santa Fe on Stage B. Follow the signs to the screen, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
And is there a number people can call if they want more information?
473-6400.
Diane Schneier-Perrin and Gabriel Flores and Craig Strong, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a little break now, and with any luck, Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is associate editor of the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's here with us many Fridays of the year speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How is you?
How is I?
Yeah.
I'm fine.
It's just singular. It's just you. It's not 5 people sitting at the table like 2 minutes ago. I had to elbow my way in here and fight off the Albuquerque Journal people trying to stop me.
So can we talk about the Santa Fe Film Festival and other things as well?
Sure. You want to talk about the other things first?
Okay.
Let's do that. Then we can talk movies. Because it is the Santa Fe
Film
Festival
weekend. All we've been talking about is movies this whole week.
Da-da-da.
And if anyone's been tuning in, that's it.
That's been the Mary Charlotte KSFR show, and it's the Pasatiempo story today. We have a few stories. There's a story in the Daily about the fun party I attended Wednesday night, in which I ran into none other than Mary Charlotte.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. I was going to walk you to your car to be a gentleman, and then you met some guy, and I got pushed out the back door.
That's not true.
I know when I'm getting a bum's rush. I've had 40 years of it. Here we go. The Baca Street Art Tour. If you don't want to do film festival stuff, head over to Baca Street off Cerrillos Road near Counterculture. There's stuff happening tonight, 5 to 9. Strolling musicians, lights, antics, art. 820-2222 is the number. There's a little story in Pasatiempo today. Down on the plaza is Camp Darfur. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah.
It's an interactive exhibit which looks at genocide in refugee camps in Chad and Darfur. And there's an action tent which includes information on how you can support refugees. That's pretty serious stuff. And it's down on the plaza all weekend long, 10 to 6, all 3 days. It's free. Swing down there.
And they've been talking about it on KSFR News as well and doing an interview with one of the people who is organizing this, whose family escaped from the Holocaust in Czechoslovakia and is talking about how we must never stand for this again. And here we are in the world allowing the genocide to happen.
It's a great reminder. And it's, I know it sounds like a serious exhibit, but really try to lend your support to it. It's down on the plaza. More lighthearted fare, Moving People Dance and Moving People 2 joined together to do a version of that guy, what do you call him, Tchaikovsky?
Tchaikovsky, indeed.
It, the Nutcracker Suite, the Nutcracker Score, whatever. It's a
Nutcracker Ballet.
It's a jazz rendition of that. I think Aspen Santa Fe is doing a regular classical one in a week or two, but this is a jazz version. I think it still has mice and nutcrackers and a Christmas tree and other shenanigans. 7:30 tonight, James A. Little Theater.
Excellent.
Little story in today's Pasatiempo. If you're looking for a little different young art stuff, the National Dance Institute in New Mexico is doing Frank Lesser's musical, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, which I, for one,
I'd like to know that.
I've been doing that all my life. I haven't even put out any effort, and somehow I bungle my way to the top. There's a Young at Art story in the Pasatiempo today by Craig Smith about this, as well as by the Swinging Suites. More dramatic fare, Anton Chekhov, this Russian guy, lived about 150 years ago, depressing. His characters were always shooting each other or themselves. Anyway, they're doing his play, The Seagull. It's about a little birdie and their metaphor for life. Anyway, it's over there at the College of Santa Fe. Claire Davidson's directing. It's 8 o'clock tonight at the Greer Garson. Call 4-7386-511.
You gulped right in the middle of that phone number.
I did.
Hey, there's the Ethnosphere Music Lab presents a live music event called Enemies of the State. Live music from places you're supposed to avoid by local musicians you know and trust, Maya Mundi. It's music from China, Sudan, Afghanistan, Syria, Cuba, Louisiana, France, and more.
They don't have to triton there.
This is Saturday, tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Wise Fool Space at 2779 Agua Fria, two blocks north of Sila Road.
Pretty good. If you're looking for some lighthearted giggles, Ron Perea, the comedian and author, is signing copies of his book, Smiles, Giggles, and Laughs, 5 to 9 tonight at Hastings in the DeVargas Center. Because when you're smiling, really smiling, the whole world smiles with you. Now, here's something interesting. Up at St. John's, you know, the erudite place, the college up on the hill.
Stop saying erudite. It's just wrong.
Why? Isn't that the sister of Aphrodite? Julia Lupton is giving a lecture called Shakespeare and the Book of Job. Now, I pronounced Job right, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And that's from the Bible, ain't it?
Yes.
Isn't that funny? Now, of all of Shakespeare's plays, and that's 8 o'clock tonight, I never heard of the Book of Job. He must have written that in between Cymbeline and some of those other lesser-known pieces, Winter's Tale. I like the one he did. What was it called? Gunfire at Apache Gap. That's a good one.
Robert.
Radius Books launch party.
Are you hungover?
From Wednesday night. I just got out of bed about 20 minutes ago, believe me. That was some party. Not that I would ever drink on the job, mind
you. Did you go last night?
I did. I woke up in time for that party over at the Hotel Santa Fe.
Good.
We'll get there in a minute. Radius Books, do you know anything about them?
No.
Well, they're launching a party, a new publishing company. Titles by artists by Johnny Winona Ross and Mark Klett and others. Craig Smith wrote a piece in Pasta. It's tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock. 519 Cerritos Road, formerly Club Luna, which is, oddly enough, also the box office for Santa Fe Film Festival.
Hey, tomorrow from the December 1st from 10 to noon, Creative Santa Fe is having a community forum for Santa Feans who might be creative entrepreneurs. They are in partnership with HomeWise and United Way, and the forum is called Life and Business Solutions for Creative Santa Feans at the Southside Library on Jaguar Drive from 10 to noon.
Excellent. I've only got 5 or 6 more non-film stuff to talk about. One of them is tomorrow, and that's Santa Fe Art Institute. In conjunction with the Disappeared Collaborative Project, they're having a reception tomorrow from 4 to 6. The Santa Fe Art Institute is on the College of Santa Fe campus, 1600 St. Michael's Drive, and they're doing Bocas de Ceniza, Mouths of Ash. It's an installation by Juan Manuel Echevarria, and there's a story in today's Pasatiempo by, I believe, Craig Smith. He's written like 18 stories. There's a lecture by curator Laurel Ruger at 6 p.m. It's very cheap to get in. The exhibit runs through January 18th, by the way. Santa Fe Art Institute, definitely a very... worthy place to go visit. 424-5050.
And I've got Juan Manuel Echevarria on my show on Monday at 8:30.
Excellent. The 19th annual Winter Spanish Market is this weekend at Parish Hall, Santa Maria de la Paz Catholic Community, 11 College Way off Richards Avenue. It's from 9 to 4 on Saturday. It's traditional work by 100 local Hispanic artists. There's going to be live music. And how to create a children's book. We all want to write a children's story. I was going to write one about a cute little monkey who had a lot of curiosity, and he meets a man in a yellow hat. I started a whole project. It was called Curious Abby. It was a man, you know, a female, but no, somebody went and beat me to it. But the Big Reads Adult Learning Project presents a workshop and a Q&A session with author-illustrator Amy Cordova from 10 to noon Saturday at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex. It's free, but you got to reserve in advance. So if you're at the last minute, you're just waking up, you're hungover, you're saying, who's this baboon talking on the air? 946-1007 if you want to learn about children's books. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock.
And it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Duke Ellington Tribute Concert at the Scottish Rite Temple, which is tonight at 7:30. And that's Burt Dalton, Milo Jaramillo, John Bartlett, Glenn Costur, Jerry Jensen, and vocalist Hillary Smith.
Pretty
Once
cool.
again, 7:30.
Shirley MacLaine's got a new book.
That's right. Saging While aging.
I interviewed her. The Q&A runs in PASA today. She's signing copies of this book at 3 p.m. tomorrow.
At Garcia Street Books.
On Garcia Street, 986-0151. Please see my story in today's Pasatiempo. And those of you familiar with the Loretta Chapel in Santa Fe should know that the Sisters of Loretta are having an honoring ceremony. It's actually the New Mexico Department of Transportation. They're paying tribute to Mother Magdalene Hayden and the Sisters of Loretta. How the two are involved, I honestly don't know. Maybe they drove them around in vans or something back in the 1800s when the Santa Fe Trail was first being developed by Errol Flynn and such. Anyway, so they're doing a roadway marker in their honor, and then at 9 o'clock tomorrow, readings by Allie McGraw, a very sweet lady who, by the way, I find very beautiful, and others at the Loretta Chapel, 211 Old Santa Fe Trail, followed by a procession to a ribbon-cutting ceremony at the marker. So the Old Santa Fe Trail and East Alameda is where Loretta Chapel is, no charge. This is tomorrow, 9 o'clock.
Now, did you already talk about Artistas de Santa Fe holiday celebration?
I did not. Take it away.
And so that is at 228 Old Santa Fe Trail. There's an opening tonight from 5 to 7, and it's artist partners of the Artistas de Santa Fe Gallery, and all sorts of mixed media, ceramics, oil paintings, many different artists.
Now, I start singing Christmas songs on December 1st. I don't do the day after Thanksgiving, so there's still a day to go before I start singing them.
That's fine. You can do Dean Martin right now.
You're right, but on Sunday at 7 o'clock at the Loretto Chapel, pure coincidence, the Santa Fe Women's Ensemble has a Christmas offering. It's going to be a suite of five songs from Samuel Gordon's All This Night, also 15th century poetry. I do not think they'll be doing Dean Martin Christmas tunes. But if it snows, maybe they'll do Let Us Snow, Let Us Snow, Let Us Snow, which is not a Christmas song. It's a winter song. 7 o'clock, Sunday night, Loretta Chapel, Old Santa Fe Trail. Got to pay to get in. 954-4922. Guess who wrote a story about it in Pasatiempo? Craig Smith. And this is fascinating. Tuesday night, Nancy Wood talks about the accidental photographer. This is at 7 o'clock in the community room of the Santa Fe Public Library downtown on Washington Avenue. She's got a new book, Eye of the West, 7 to 8:30. I don't know what it's about, really, and I mean, no offense to her, but do you think the accidental photographer is like, when I was living with this woman in Tucson, we weren't romantically involved, she was just my roommate, and I was taking photos with my Polaroid, and she happened to step out of the shower. Would you say that was accidental photography?
In your case, no.
Let's talk film festival. What have you seen? What's good?
Wait, I want to say one more thing. The Mystical Arts of Tibet Mandala Sand Painting by the monks of the Drepung Losaling Monastery. They've been making this very wonderful sand painting all week, and the event ends on Saturday, tomorrow, the 1st of December. Let's see. You can go see it at any time at Surrette. At Surrette's First Northern Plaza, 121 Sandoval, next to Alpine Sports. And at 7 o'clock, there will be a talk. It's hard to read this thing. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. There's a closing ceremony. Here we go. The closing ceremony is tomorrow at 10 a.m. And they've made these. What they do is they make these incredibly beautiful, detailed works of art, which are sand paintings, and then they do a ceremony, and then they just, with a broom, with a brush, sweep it all up.
Can we just chide people again? Press
what?
Releases have all the info, get it right, phone number,
now,
et
cetera. I'm sure it's just my eyes.
Well, sometimes we mess up, and we apologize. I always apologize when I get it wrong, and you're always welcome to call in and say you got the number wrong or something. Santa Fe Film Fest, before we talk about it.
Wait, I've got one more thing. Small Dog Rescue will be at, this is, we have to have one dog thing at least every Friday.
But I have a sock puppet presentation.
Small Dog Rescue will be at Zoe and Guido's on the corner of Cerrillos and Paseo de Peralta from noon until 3 tomorrow.
Oh,
that was quick.
That was nice. You adopt us.
There, I'm done.
The Mist is a very scary movie.
Which?
It's not in the film festival. The Mist. Very frightening Stephen King picture. If you'd like to be scared, go see it.
I don't like to be scared.
Okay, Santa Fe Film Fest, what do you want
Yay.
To say?
You go first.
Well, it continues through Sunday at various venues around town. And you can call the box office after, I think it's 989-1495. I hope I got that number right. Pick up Pasta Tampa today. You'll get the details. Movies, panel talks. There's a discussion this morning at 9 o'clock about the method style of acting over in the Unitarian Universalist Church on Barcelona Road, not far from Cordoba, being held by casting director Lynn Stahlmaster. And there's other discussions all through the weekend. Most are free. There's movies you have to pay to get in. You can buy a single pass, a 10-film pass. You can buy an all-festival pass. Go to the box office, 519 Cerritos Road, formerly Club Luna. Ask questions. The filmmakers are setting up their home in the Hotel Santa Fe. Every night, Heineken is sponsoring a happy hour, 4 to 6. I'm not suggesting you go there and drink recklessly. Do what I do, which is stagger home. I can walk like a mile back to my house from there. So, and I was there last night.
Do what I do. Stagger home.
But, I mean, don't drive. It's not funny because I got pulled over once, and that's not fun.
That's not fun.
The Milagro Awards Ceremony honors tributees that are coming this weekend, including Alan Cumming, the Scottish film director and actor. A couple of his pictures are in the festival. The excellent Suffering Man's Charity, I urge you to go see. It's a dark comedy he directed, Accent. And he's speaking tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Forum on the College of Santa Fe campus. You can get in. You got to pay to get in. Tickets available at the door. And they're paying honor to him and cinematographer John Bailey, several documentary filmmakers.
Yeah.
Editor Carol Littleton at 4 p.m. Saturday at the Lenzik. I believe it's free.
I want to say a special thing about tributee Marina Goldovskaya, whose movie Solovki Power screens today at 5:45 at the Santa Fe Film Center. And it's a documentary made in the late 80s about one of the Russian gulags of the late 20s, early 30s. And it is a spectacular, very powerful, very important documentary. I urge people to go see it.
I've seen about 20 pictures. I have not seen her work yet. And I liked a lot of them, including some of the documentaries I would recommend, which includes Nina Davenport's Operation Filmmaker.
Nina Davenport is a force of nature.
She's terrific. It runs Sunday. I don't have the time. You have the calendar in front of you to find it. Our Operation Filmmaker, consider going to see it. I have a piece in Pasta Tampa about it if you want to find out more.
Yep, that's Sunday at 6:30 in the evening at the Center for Contemporary Arts.
Cult director Alex Cox has a contemporary Western called Searchers 2.0. Really doesn't have anything to do with the old Searchers with John Wayne, although it pays sort of tribute to it. That's playing Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Armory for the Arts. I liked it. I like the documentary Strictly Background about extras, which anybody in the film business here who wants to become an extra should go see. It's fun. It's insightful. That's 1:30 today and 8:30 Sunday at CCA.
I would like to also say that one of my favorite films is called The Sensation of Sight. We did an interview about it the other day. I saw it on screener, and then I went yesterday, and it was so much better the second time, I think partly because it was on the big screen. It screens one more time tomorrow at the Santa Fe Film Center on St. Michael's Drive at 10:15 in the morning, and it's a perfect work of art. I mean, don't you hate it when you see a film in the film festival and everything is going along fine, and then there's just an error that breaks your attention,
and
you're watching a film as opposed to the story taking you and grabbing you and running. This never does that. You get into the story, and the spell does not break until you walk out of the theater.
Excellent. I did see a picture in the festival, and I'm praising it, even though I have a little criticism because I didn't think I liked how it unfolded, but a thriller called Broke Sky. Really,
I loved that. I thought it was great from beginning to end.
I'm almost with you. I don't totally agree, but it's mostly good. It's a really good noir-type picture, great performances, a really good thriller, and a quiet little screwball comedy called Big Ideas.
By the way, Broke Sky screens today at 3 and then Sunday at 3 at the DeVargas 2.
Thanks. And also, what about Big Ideas, Little Tokyo? I thought it was a really...
No, Big Dreams, Little Tokyo.
Thank you.
I'm going to that again.
I thought it was a really charming, quirky comedy about culture, identity, language, love. Really sweet. G-rated, basically. I don't think there's anything
totally
naughty in
G-rated.
It.
The people who made it were Mormons, but you'd never know it.
And it's... Is that a joke?
No.
I didn't know that, but it's a very... It's a contemporary screwball comedy, like this Harold Lloyd-type protagonist. I really liked it. I was sorry I didn't get to write it up in the festival.
10:30 tomorrow morning, Armory for the Arts.
Go and see it.
And it does something which you rarely see in movies, which is portrays an American who is culturally and linguistically fluent in an Asian language.
That's right. And his antics with his sumo wrestler sidekick, roommate.
Yes.
Now, if I had a sumo wrestler roommate, that I wouldn't accidentally photograph, because when it was, you know, with Barbara, she just had soap suds every.
And another fun documentary, I have to say, is called Jump. And
Helen Hood Shear's piece.
Yep, it's about the sport of jump rope, which turns out to be a near Olympic level sport with people doing tricks you can't even believe.
There's nothing like jump
rope. And that's tonight at 5:30, and then tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And I believe the one tonight, a jump rope club from Albuquerque is going to be there performing.
This is strange. When I was like 6 and my sister was 9. I was holding the other end of the jump rope, even though it was a girl's sport in those days, but I was like, you know, my sister would play with me, so that was nice. And a spider got on the rope, and it went all the way up to the rope, and then jumped into my sister's mouth, so I never did jump rope after that.
Did we say that Operation Filmmaker was screening at 6:30 on Sunday at the CCA?
You didn't even respond. We did.
Okay.
In conjunction with all these films, there is an art exhibit, a photo exhibit, National Geographic's All Roads Film Project, which brings in a lot of pictures made by indigenous filmmakers and minority filmmakers, several of which are showing during the festival. They also have a photo exhibit that runs through Sunday at the Center for Contemporary Arts, and it's free. There's some really beautiful work there. I'm not going to try to pronounce the names because I really am bad. I do mispronounce things. It's really rarely purposely. It's just something I've
Alanis Obomsawin?
Keep going.
She's one of the tributees, and she made a film.
Go right ahead. It's fine.
And we talked to her yesterday. Go ahead. No.
No, I'm delighted. There's an open discussion today from 10:30 to noon. I'm open about my limitations and malapropisms, and you just spin this stuff off like, you know, I'm talking to Einstein's daughter. How do you do?
Hardly. Sorry. Well, one of her films is called Wabanaki, and that screens today at 5 o'clock at the Armory for the Arts. And she has some other films on Sunday morning. What about Miss Navajo? Did you see that?
I have not seen it, but it's Stacey Matlock from the paper thinks it's a terrific documentary.
I do, too.
When's it running?
Miss Navajo is today, well, at 9:15. Get in your car right now and go up to the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, or can do the same thing on Sunday at 4 o'clock, so 9:15 today or Sunday at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture.
Hey, what time is it?
It is 8:52.
Oh, that's good.
You're strangely quiet now.
Well, no, I was thinking of a couple other movies, but I didn't like them, and I'm not going to say that on the air.
Okay,
I don't want to
do
that to filmmakers. People have to come up with their own decision.
No.
There are some shorts programs. I don't know if you have them all there. I've seen some of the shorts. I didn't see one full program of shorts. I saw shorts from each program.
Yeah, we just had some of the people from New Mexico's burgeoning film industry.
A couple of them are quite good.
Yeah.
And I've seen some really good shorts, and I've seen some not-so-good shorts, but that's the nice thing about short movies. You go, you don't like one, the next one's pretty good. So they're playing all over the festival.
Oh, by the way, did you see Let Them Chirp a While?
No, but the filmmaker spoke at a panel talk yesterday, and he totally fascinated me.
He's terrific.
Great, articulate guy.
Very articulate. It's a good film. It's well made.
I want to get my hand. Do you still have a screener?
I do, but you can go on Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Santa Fe Film Center. That's the next time it's screening. And it has a Jack Russell Terrier in it.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
If it has a dog, it gets an extra point from me.
I know. You know what I've noticed while screening movies?
No.
Almost every movie has a dog in it at one point or another. It may not be a main character.
This is fascinating. I saw Juno opening night at the film festival, which is going to go into wide release. And in the opening scene, the character Juno, the lead character, is talking to her dog, Bananas. Now, here's my criticism, which is not going in my review. Bananas never pops up again. I wanted to see antics from Bananas. I thought with a dog named Bananas, there needed to be shenanigans. Some sort of, you know.
Antics, Bananas, shenanigans.
There needed to be canine comedy.
There's a limerick in there somewhere.
No, but, you know, this is the problem. So you introduce a dog named Bananas. Film festival, going all weekend long. You can buy your tickets. You can get into a lot of things, stuff happening.
Did you see Super Amigos?
Super Amigos. No.
That we interviewed them yesterday. It's actually a very unusual documentary which combines
yes.
animation, still comic book, and documentary. And these guys, there are five of them with names like Super Barrio, Super
Los
Gay.
Los Luchadores!
Super, they are Los Luchadores. They dress up in lucha libre, professional wrestling costumes, and they go around actually fighting crime and corruption for real. It's really true. You know, and so trying to help people who are getting evicted from buildings that are slated for demolition so they can build expensive hotels. And these people have nowhere to go, and they defend.
Do they fight monsters in rubber suits?
No, this is real.
Oh, okay.
And it really is real. And this screens tomorrow at the Center for Contemporary Arts at 1:30 in the afternoon. And Super Barrio is here, but he wasn't wearing his professional wrestling costume.
That's not good. I would never take such a thing off if I was in there late.
I know. I was surprised.
Hey, this is a film-related event that I didn't bring up. It's not film festival-related, but on Thursday night at the Institute of American Indian Arts on Avenue Paul Road, there's going to be a discussion about turning fiction into film, and they're going to be focusing on Joseph Boyden's book, 3-Day Road, which is a terrific book, how they're going to turn it into a screenplay. Panelists are supposed to include not just the author, Joseph, and his wife, Amanda, who's adapting the screenplay, but director Robert M. Young and producer actor Edward James Olmos, who optioned the book. This is 7:30 p.m. Thursday night in the Institute of American Indian Arts in the LTC.
Thursday of next week or Thursday last night?
No, Thursday the 6th.
Oh, okay.
And reservations are required, but it's free. So here's a phone number, 424-2365. So after the film festival's over, you still want a little taste of talking about films? Thursday.
Sounds very interesting.
Anyway, what time is it?
It is, we just have about a minute and a half left. Oh, I want to mention Making Trouble, which is about three generations of
that's
Jewish women comedians. And that's at 10:15 on Sunday
Pecan,
morning.
Fanny Bryce, Sophie
at Tipton
Tucker.
Hall, yeah.
Great. It's a
Joan Rivers, Gilda Radner, Wendy Wasserstein.
What a wonderful place. Terrific narrative film from Israel. Beautiful film. What a wonderful place.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you can dig that out and tell people, please, it's a wonderful fiction film about Ukrainian women and their plight trying to get out of Israel and what they have to go through, and really sympathetic portrayal of a not particularly nice guy. By an actor whose name escapes me. It's really good. When's it running?
It's at 3:45 on Sunday at the New Mexico Film Museum, formerly called the Juan Cocteau Theater.
Good. And the big comedy to go see is Big...
Big Dreams, Little Tokyo.
Yeah,
tomorrow, 10:30, Armory for the Arts. I'm going again.
Most amusing.
Probably. If my dogs want to go with me.
And the festival closes Sunday night with the mainstream picture Grace is Gone. All I know is John Cusack's in it. It's a journey film. And I think that opens wide in a week or two. So that's that.
Good. Not to mention parties.
Parties!
At which I saw you at one the other night.
Yes, I'm going to go to as many parties. I only go to Hobnob with the hoi polloi and get some inside scoop on what's happening in the film business. Otherwise, I wouldn't even show up at those places. Now, granted, the allure of free alcohol, which I'm always very cautious to imbibe in quantities of, shall we say, less than two-thirds of my body weight, and never getting into a vehicle afterwards, unless, of course, it's a tricycle. It's a big one like Rod Harrison drives around town. That's the only reason I go to these shindigs. And I'm found in all sorts of collaborating positions. Now, I want to speak about
what
that
on earth
night.
Are you talking about? But I had fun. I have fun at these things. I love parties. I don't go out that much, but when I do, I'm always think, why don't I do this more often?
I don't know. That guy was kind of cute talking to you by the doorway when I got the bums rush.
Robert.
Sam Shepard was there, remember?
Sam Shepard was there, and I heard Tobey Maguire, also known as Spider-Man, was there, but I didn't catch sight of him.
Yeah, he was gone.
He probably had crept up the wall.
I wish Natalie Portman would show up.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. Thank you so much, Robert Knott, Associate Editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican.
Do I come back in 4 weeks again?
No, you come back next week and the week after and the week
Christmas
after
time?
And the week
can
after.
Can I start singing Christmas songs next week?
You can do whatever you want. I do not have any editorial control over you, Robert, although I will correct your grammar, but you love that. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org, or you can leave a message at 428-1528. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. And we podcast the show at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen anytime you want to, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil computer services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you want to hear any of the interviews about the films that are screening at the Santa Fe Film Festival, you can just go to santafe.radiocafe.org and listen and maybe get a sense of what you'd like to hear if you haven't heard the show all week. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. And after all of the news, you've got Jazz a la Carta with Ricardo Perez and Helga Ancona in the Brazilian Hour. Robert Knott, what are you humming and mumbling about?
I was just singing Silver Bells behind the scenes. I'm trying to incorporate some holiday hysterium into the environment.
You're getting ready.
I certainly am. I feel very ambidextrous about it, but I'm willing to go either way.
What do you mean you're feeling ambidextrous about it?
You know, when you have like two sides, you're not sure how you feel.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
No, I never like to hide. I'll see you around, girl. Good
hasta la vista.
Yeah.